Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of press. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We've got another exciting weekend of racing, where we will be previewing the Doomben Cup. We've got the Champions and Chater Cup on Sunday in Hong Kong, and we've got Melbourne Metro Racing at Sandown. Fellas, how are we doing? Will Bot Alford and Nick McWalter?
Yeah, I'm going okay. Nothing out of the ordinary. Just same old life at Nico HQ.
Just in the trenches?
Just in the trenches, working away.
Nice. Yourself, Will? You haven't been let go of your job yet?
No, I at least not to my knowledge anyway.
Until they see the bullshit you've been posted on Twitter.
They all look like fucking...
Well, the horses made you look like a retard, did they?
Sure. No, yeah, well... No, I still would have backed him regardless, but whatever. I'm happy with the bets, but they were... Geez, the Foxenberg was awful.
It was horrific.
And if I had won, that would have been a large result.
I think Kilmore was not much flash either. Samadra was good. Or Samudra. She's pretty tough.
Yeah, well, she
bit
was
of
fun.
Mum, bit of mum quality in her.
Yeah, I thought she was going to win by a lot further than what she did. But
she was entitled to turn it up, paid. Really. Like, she got taken on. Still did a lot wrong in her races.
Yeah, but I wanted her to win by further.
I think it was...
Numbers in the frame, but she won.
Yeah, Mark Walker said pretty...
she paid.
Like a few times pre-race and post-race, it should be a better three-year-old. Like, she's still got a lot of maturing to do. And obviously that's been pretty noted, considering she's been in and out and in and out for preparation. So she's done her job. She's going to be worth a hell of a lot of money if they can get some black type, that's for sure.
Yeah. Big weekend, lads. We've got Antino versus Pride and Jenny. I don't think they're the only two chances in the race. And we've also got Voyage Bubble versus Dubai Honor on Sunday.
Mm.
I reckon in terms of international racing, that is one of the best clashes of the year.
Against two horses that are very, very similar in what they've done. Obviously, I saw the thing that you posted on the socials earlier today. And, obviously Dubai Honor hasn't won as much prize money, but I suppose he hasn't probably been as dominant in a small pool of horses like what Voyage Bubble has been, but it's going to be one hell of a clash. I feel a bit dirty being against Voyage Bubble. Like, I really like him as a horse, but I suppose you got to take that emotion out of it. And I just hope that Dubai hopefully it's not too hot for him on Sunday, because that's been noted during the week that it's pretty hot over there at the moment, hot and steamy. So hopefully that's not going to become an issue. Obviously, he's well travelled and whatnot, but yeah, it's still probably something that you've got to take note of. Voyage Bubbles in his own backyard.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting conditions right now in Hong Kong. It's hot and humid, as you mentioned. It's 30 degrees.
It ruined bot.
It's also raining.
No, man, that was sweet.
No, bot's sweet. He's back. He's back to work. I mean, Foxenberg lost. So, Mr. Aaron Morrison, if you are listening, don't let our bot go, because he still needs the money. So, if Foxenberg had won, then maybe he would have been all right. But
he would have moved to that Medea's small island adjacent to Jules.
Medea was all right.
Medea is a long time ago, mate. Don't worry about Medea. Don't worry about Medea.
Well, we do have a bet of the year tonight on the podcast, actually. Well, we're...
Oh, what? Wow.
Yeah,
from you.
$5 too.
Wow. Oh, all right. Hold that thought. Let's get into the racing. Sandown. They raced there on Wednesday, I should say, and the thought of participants is that the track was too firm. It was upgraded after race one, which basically means it was a good three before race one. That's exactly what that sort of converts to. Bot, I know as punters, we don't mind a firm track, but do you see the overcorrection potentially incoming here with some irrigation?
I mean, it'd be a very bad idea for them to do that, but I mean, it could happen. I thought that the track was fine. The times suggest it wasn't fast. It was just, I don't know, like, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Blake Shin, but he's also riding a 500 kilo animal going 60 k's an hour. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm sure they can tell sort of how wet or firm a track is, but, like, you can't be to the nth degree. And we've got times that can measure these things well enough, you would have thought. Maybe it's, like, really firm underfoot, but... But at the same time, you can't really blame the MRC, because they've been dealt with a race day, a Saturday race meeting 3 days after a Wednesday Metropolitan meeting. So, like, I don't know, it's a bit harsh, but, you know, I thought, like, there were two horses that went outside of 6-1 on Wednesday in the track race pretty fairly. I thought race typical of what you'd expect from Sandown Hillside. So, I didn't have a problem with it whatsoever.
Gee, whose dog's that?
Feeding him.
You might have to mute yourself every time you're not speaking. And the point that Bot alludes to is obviously when you've got a Wednesday meeting and a Saturday meeting, these track managers would prefer the first meeting to be a little firmer, because a firm track means less damage and less likely for lanes to be created on the second day. And the second day is what we're worried about, and that's Saturday Metro Racing. So
yeah, exactly.
Wednesday, the rail was in the true position. We go out to the 3 meter position now. We know it's a lovely, spacious track, the hillside. So I'm not expecting any real bias. Hopefully, it's nice and fair. We start in race one, and it's before midday. We love a winner before midday. 11:55 a.m. is the 1,000 meter 2-year-old. Race, open race for the fillies. Saluted, $2.80 favorite from Miss Olay. Very unlucky on debut, $3.20. Frostnip, $5. Rosangela is $7.50. And Mrs. Inglacia is $15, longer the rest. Bot, I'll start with you. Nico has also got a bet in this race.
Yeah, Frostnip's the one I'll be on. I think it comes through the right race. That race went actually quite well at the Caulfield Heath. It's the equal highest rating of any horse in this field. Rosangela was very good behind Prince Tycoon, who I think is about even money up there in Doombadorf, wherever he's racing, Sydney, I'm not sure. I saw that he's even money, though.
Gold Coast Friday night.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. He's a nice horse, and Rosangela ran second. But, yeah, this Miss Olay's favourite, and like, it was well-supported at Warrnambool. I'm sure there was a big tip around for it or whatever. It squealed home from the back of the field, but I mean, it'll probably just go back again and do the same thing, probably once a little bit further. I'm pretty happy that I think Frostnip will cross from the outside Barry and be the one to catch from the front, and track's going to probably hopefully race fast, and I think it's a nice enough horse, and $5 is good enough for me, so I'll be on Frostnip.
Beautiful. And Nico, I reckon you might like Miss Olay.
Yeah, well, I was unfortunately robbed of a result at the carnival, but I won't be on Saturday. She'll bounce back. She's a really nice filly. She trialled up super in the lead up to Warrnambool. There's no $17 this time, unfortunately, but
was she $17?
I backed it at $17. Yeah.
Jesus,
a big bull plunge didn't come off.
Yeah, she missed the start by about
missed
three
the start
lengths,
by so, three, yeah. Lost by two, moral beat. But anyway.
She was a Mozza beat.
Anyway, I think...
Yeah, what if she does the same thing?
I think she might be a moral on Saturday, so there you go.
Bang. All right.
Is this the bet of the year that you were talking about? Or?
No.
This is not $5
if you
either.
Listen properly, bot. It was $5. Yeah. Maybe you need to open your ears.
Right. I think she'll win here.
I don't listen to half the things he says.
I think she'll win. So.
In one year.
You'd be far more knowledgeable if you did listen to me. So anyway, on to the next.
I'm really disappointed that no one is betting into race two. Lose some, win more. Or let me clear my throat. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 Gamblers Hotline.
I just don't love the back to 1,000 meters. That was mine.
It's not ideal, is it?
If it was 1,100, I probably would have bet. But
yeah.
I thought if I was going to be on anything in that race, Harry Got Styles was interesting to me because I think he's clearly an 1,000 meter horse, and I think they might have figured out that that's just him. Because his best numbers are at 1,000. Every time they try and step him out of a furlough, you can't quite cop it. But I do think lose somewhere more is a really nice horse. But they might just go a little bit quick and run it off its legs maybe a little bit. So I mean, it can win. It's gonna be squealing home down the outside. But I'm happy to not be in that bet in that race.
Squealing home. Yeah. Buzzword.
Speaking
of Harry Styles, there's a bit of Harry Styles about that perm on your head. What do you reckon?
There's a lot of it.
Let's move on to race three. It's a 1,400 metre benchmark 78 for the fillies. Aha, Aha is $4 favourite from Terra Lee, $6.50. Sephia, $8. Serena, $11. Grinzinga Sung is $12. I'm just going to have something small on Terra Lee. I thought she was terribly unlucky. Last start, that was in the Medea race. Look, Bot, you were right in the end that she got beaten, but I thought she was held up for a run at a very crucial stage. I thought she was traveling much better than the favorite here, which is Aha Aha. And I think we're getting a price, $7.50, the top odds on Ladbrokes. We're getting a price because of the barrier, but Sandown's a good track to be drawn out and to be coming down the outside. So I think the price is fair enough and I'm looking to have something on.
I thought that I want to be on Paces on Saturday. I thought a horse that I that could give a bit of a sight and I probably will be on is Serena, who's put up two nice ratings since she's been stepped up to 1,400 metres. She beat Ultimatum at Sandown on the lakeside and then was respectable. They went, you know, it comes through that Medea race. I thought she did enough there. So I could have something on her, but maybe, who knows.
All right, race four, 1,600 metre three-year-old event, Supernema, $5, Taken, $6, King of Enterprise, $7. Was our best bet at the Warrnambool Carnival, got the job done. Didn't miss many, is $10, and so is Murfield. Will, you've got a duchy here, a dual bet play.
Yes, I think Taken should be favourite. The reason I have Taken favourite is pretty dependent on what it did at its third ever start, where it sort of trucked into the race and made an early move at Caulfield in a race that Supernema was in, and Supernema got the better of it that day. But I just think it was its third start. He was out of a couple of slowly run races and it got put into a good, strong pace, and it made an early move and just sort of died in its run in the last 200 metres. And it's come back seven preparation, got run off its legs by Zuna, and then went to 14 at Pakenham. And I thought it was a nice stepping stone to run a new career peak here, third up. I think it'll roll across from the wide barrier and sit in a non-pace position. And I think it should be favoured. I think Supernema will be heading to the back of the field from that gate. I just don't think it can be forward, and And I'm scared of King of Enterprise. I think it's a really nice horse, but it is a big horse, and I love it up to a mile, but I just think Barrier One's a little bit icky for it. Mm. Horse I will have something on as well is Chocolates, who was really, really good first up. It's a full sister to Horrifying, who's obviously a nice horse for Lindsay Smith now. It ran really nice splits, only bettered by Autumn Bell, who was resuming off really good form in stakes races in Adelaide this time last year. And I think it won well enough and can go on with it now. I think it'll sit on pace and give a bit of a sight. So it's $19, and that's good enough for me. I think it probably starts inside. No, I don't know. It'll shorten from $19, I would have thought.
All righty. I'm having two bets as well. I will back Super Nima, $5.50. I thought the last start effort by him was really, really good behind Mary Eliza. He was held up at the top of the straight, and look, I thought he was traveling into it really nicely, and I thought his late work was super. And a few horses down the outside just had the momentum not halted, so ended up running into fourth, but I thought it was a really strong fourth. Gets in here with 53.5 kilos after the Luke Cartwright claim, and I just think second time at the mile is destined to improve again. So although the map is a little bit tricky, he'll be well back in the field. I think he can be one that is launching his attack from well back. It's a big day for Luke Cartwright because he's getting onto some of these really well-fancied Peter Moody and Kath Coleman horses. So hopefully he can step up his game and get a few under the belt. And I'm also going to have something on Bots Ruffy, and that is the daughter of the Melbourne Cup winner in Shocking in Chocolates. Look, it just looks like a horse who is going to continually improve up in distance and has come back much better this preparation. And although it was only a half-length win last start, the rating was quite solid. So I think it can improve again, and Barrier 3 is nice. So Kiramar, Harry Coffey, 20-1. I don't think – I think it's an easy bet, put it that way.
Hmm.
All righty. Where are we stepping to next?
Six.
Let me just check if I've got something in five.
It's the Changing Colours race.
Surely that's a lay.
I don't know. I think it. I don't think so, because I think it was out of two slow races, and then it went to a really fast race, and now it's probably got a nice platform to go to when you peak. But I wouldn't want to back it at 2-1.
No, it absolutely broke my heart last night. It was home for all money. Anyway, we'll move on to the first of the quaddy legs. It's race six. It's an 1,800-meter benchmark 100. You could say this is the day's feature. Air Assault has been smashed today into $3.70. The opening price was $6 on Wednesday. I think Kingsley has declared it, and he's tipped it out to all his disciples. You can see why. It is 3 out of 3 at 1,800 meters, but I'm against it. Sabin is $4, Aaron Bay $8, Bold Soul $9, Sayadati Sadati $9, Makram $10 on the backup, and Forgot You is $12. I'll quickly go first. I'm backing the two class runners in this, and that is number one, Aaron Bay, and number two, Forgot You. I thought Aaron Bay was really good. He's been really good his last few starts, really, but two back, he carried 62.5 kilos and just got beat by Regal Asmon. And then Regal Asmon did beat him again last start, even though he had the big relative weight swing. But as good a win as Regal Asmon was, I do think he just had all the momentum in what were possibly the better lanes there at Morpheville that day. And now Aaron Bay just looks fit. He looks ready. He's a horse who has carried weight in the past. And from Barrier 7, I think he's just going to follow his fellow Adelaidean across in Air Assault and sit outside lead. And from there, I think he's going to be terribly hard to beat. So I think it's a good price. I think he's getting out to about his $10 with Ladbrokes, which is pretty good shopping. And the other one is Forgot You, who was resuming off a 400-day spell. Obviously, he's had some problems, had a little injury, but he ran the third fastest last 400 meters of the race, first up over 1,400. And I just think, look, this might be one run too early, getting to 1,800 meters quickly. But at his best. He's probably the best horse in the race. His last win did come on Melbourne Cup Day a couple of years ago. That was over 1,800 metres as well. Finds 1,800 metres here from barrier three. Hopefully he can be a little bit closer. And if he just takes good improvement off last run, then I reckon he might be hard to hold out. So I'm with 1 and 2. Will?
Well, yeah, I was hoping to be on Aerosol, but I'll blame Kingsley for that. Because that's obviously his work. But I have it $3.80 and it's $3.70. So not a bet for me anymore. I just didn't get my shit together, essentially. But Sayadati Sadati is very interesting to me here. With the expected ratings and that sort of stuff, it was 61 kilos at Flemington and was heavily, heavily supported. And now it drops down to 53 kilos with Jamie Carr, and I think it'll be positive from the inside gate. The early market support for it, I think there's a bit of a whiff about this, and I think it might completely go off. I wouldn't be surprised if it starts, I'll say $5.
It's jumped out a lot better going into this group as well.
Maybe it's come back better. Yeah, I think so. It was heavily backed at Flemington that day and just didn't really... they just chucked it out the back and it never really had a chance to do anything. But, I think just... It only had the one trial that I saw last time, and now it's had the two since... In the 84 days between that last one. So I think they might have cranked it up a bit. And I could see it going off. I think Sabin looks incredibly short to me, doesn't it? That rating last time was just... I mean, it's not good enough to win this. It could be. Its best form, it has it in it. It's third up and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, it just goes back and I can't be 420, can I?
Yeah. It's a chance, but I think this price is heavily reliant on getting in on the weights, claiming under the minimum. But it is worth noting, punters, that Luke Cartwright, while on Racing Australia, it says he can only ride 51 kilos. And on the book here, we've got 53 kilos and he's taking off 3. So he'll only be able to claim 2 kilos of his 3 kilos unless we hear otherwise.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Cool. Yeah, he looks short to me. I think he probably drifts from that price. I mean, I think the whole thing for him is that he's the one that could be progressive, but maybe he is. But I mean, I thought last time was pretty plain.
Yep. Alrighty, let's move on to race 7 then. It's a 1600 meter benchmark 84. Otago is $2.30 from Persian Spirit 5.50. Won at the Bull last time. Road Cone also 5.50. The Shaper 7.50. Ruakaka Raider is $8.50 and Ocean Beyond $10. The interesting thing is the 18 and the 19 are both emergencies, I believe. Some of these horses that are well in the market. We think 17 as well. Yeah, Ruakaka Raider. So it's a max field of 16. Look, I would think there'll be some scratchings down the bottom of the table, surely, but it's worth noting. Otago, he was brilliant first up. He was resuming off a long spell. He was always going to drift out a little bit, but he actually jumped well from barrier 11. Mark Zara took a hold and said, no, boy, we're going back all the way back to last. He was finishing off the race fastest behind what I think is a very, very good horse in King Zephyr. Came home over 4 lengths above the class average for the final 400 metres, fastest of the race, as I mentioned. And now he draws barrier 1. So Ben Malam is going to be forced to be positive. If he can be 3 back the rails in that sweet spot, then that would be brilliant. He drops weight off last start. He gets up to the mile. His ratings as a 3-year-old are just better than these. So, yeah, I just think there are too many ticks here. I mean, they can always be a little bit flat, second up off a long break, and especially if there is good speed in the race. But for me, he just looks the best bet at Sandown on Saturday.
Yeah, I always get pretty worried about these sorts of ones that are 400 days between runs, and then they run like, you know, nice little splits at the end of the race, and they're real short at the next start. I mean, they could have him right, and he wins, but I'll happily not be on at $2.60 and just not bet in the race. It's pretty simple to me.
Yeah, it is worth noting the prices I've read out. $2.30 TAB, that is the shortest price he is. So 260 is the top. I think we might even get a little bit better. Well, is there any price that you're betting, bot? $3 plus?
Yeah, I guess I probably have to bet. I mean, if he's $3.50, I'm sort of... if $3.50, I'm betting.
Yeah.
He's probably too good for me to not back him at that price.
There's just Nico, any thoughts? Yeah, well, there's only one horse I could possibly back in the race, and that's Otago, but just... I've just seen this script before. Horses that run really, really well first up off a long layup, they just often run second. They just, you can't forecast it, but they, for some reason, just run flat second up. That's the only reason I can't. I like him as a horse. Like, he's got a lot of talent. He ran super first up. You disregard that King's Effort failed last week. He just come to the end of the preparation on a shit-ass track when it was pissing down rain, so you just forgive that. That form's still A1. And, yeah, I'd love to see Otago win, but I want to see it on Saturday. I think it's just a bet that I'd regret, I think.
Yep, that's fair.
I hope he wins for you and everyone else that decides to back him. I can't knock it, but, yeah, to me, something that scares me backing them second up after they should just go and hose up. Second up after a long break.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that these emergencies or current emergencies get into the race and we end up getting a better price. Yeah. Like, if they don't make the field and all of a sudden Otago is a crazy, stupid short price, then I might not be on myself. But, yeah, we'll just wait and see job. Race 8, 1,400-meter benchmark, 100. LOU, $3.50. Accredited is $4.20. Vidad, $8, as well as the open. Red Galaxy. Get up, Red Galaxy. He was a good winner for us last start. $9, thanks to Tommy's good work. Oscar's Fortune, $13, and Dashing, $14. Did you ever bet in this race, Bot, or was it me alone? Yeah.
No, I'm betting.
All right, who are you backing?
The horse that you backed last time, I'll back Red Galaxy. I think he's a lot better than what he's done. He's obviously had a lot of issues. He's a big horse. Might have, I don't know, some sort of... He's obviously got issues. I mean, if they've got him right, he'll be forward. He'll put himself in a spot and he can run a number. I think that can... I mean, LOU is a really nice horse, but it's worth noting that... I don't really believe in this stuff, but it is worth noting that his two big numbers have come on wet tracks. And obviously he had that really advantageous spot last time at Moonee Valley, but... Yeah, I just think this horse can take a big next step here. And I think $11 is too big. I think he has to probably start second favorite. I thought the open was, I don't have him. I have $10.
He can.
But the one fucked. I thought was.
I'm done. I'm sure. Done with him.
Accredited was the one that I just can't understand. I don't understand that price whatsoever. Does that make any sense to you? Like, what's it doing?
Yeah, I reckon he's the one to beat. 4-1.
Accredited. Yeah,
he's got good dry form. He's got good form in Sydney. Fills me with confidence.
I said that fills me with confidence.
Well, you couldn't possibly back LOU. Doesn't go a yard on dry track. Like it'll be flat out running. I think Accredited probably should be favourite. The dad, you can have him.
What? Huh? Favourite?
Accredited should be favourite. Well, if I was framing the market and I did the race properly, Accredited would be favourite in this race. I would gap LOU because it doesn't go a yard in a dry track. It'll be lucky to run.
I mean, it does.
Verdad, you can have any price you want. He's had two anomalies in his last three. Won't win another. The open, you could gap it.
He's a non-winner, but he's run two
Accredited
in his last three.
And Red Galaxy should be favourite, nearly equal favourites, I think. You can have Oscar's Fortune. Wow. He's going like a bastard. Two winning chances.
Well,
Oscar's Fortune ran third last time.
I'm against you both.
Here we go. I'm not having a bet in the race for what it's worth.
Here it is. I'm going to set the scene. It's Friday at Sandown. We've got our man Kanga, who said the track is too firm on Wednesday.
We
he's going to be out there. He's going to be out there in Springfield. His cape is going to be flapping in the wind.
He's going to be watering
himself.
Going
to have, he's going to have the hose on full blast. And you know who's going to be there with him? Scotty Cameron and Fred Kersley. And they're just going to make sure we're racing on a soft five. And LOU, he's been brilliant his last two starts. The ratings have been very, very good. Look, I know that he's had so many circumstances in his favor, and it's been on these weird Moonee Valley tracks, but I love the versatility he showed last start. They tried to take him on for the front last time, and Freddie Kersley just said, come on, boy, let's take a sit. And he just eased out of that speed battle, sat in the 1-1 and powered away for nearly a three-length win. 1,400 meters is probably his best trip. Gets in on the minimum and the map again. Like, this is a horse who's always going to map well because he just got a lot of gate speed. So goes forward and sits outside lead to whatever wants to lead. He probably could take it up if he wants to, but there might be a Run Harry Run or a Magna Spin. Maybe even an Oscar's
There's a horse fortune. In here that's being a bit disregarded by the market. He's definitely going to be suited up to 1,400 meters.
I'm Dashing. Backing.
Yeah.
I'm backing three horses. Dashing's I've got Dashing's good bet, LAU.
I wasn't going to have a bet in this race. I might actually now. I might back Dashing.
I think $15. Yeah, $15 is a good price for Dashing. His win in the Wongoom was enormous.
Three wide, no cover really the entire race.
Yeah, and that was 1,200. It was a testing track. 1,400 meters is much better. He maps beautifully.
He just wants a bit of cut in the track.
Had something on it.
He wants it soft.
Yeah. Make sure those hoses are on, Kanga.
He will be listening. He's a big fan of the show and a big fan of me. So I know he will be listening to my man, Kanga.
He just had to throw that in.
He
and
will
a big
be
fan
listening
of me.
My man, Kanga.
Nah, he's a good man. And Nicolini Vito is a horse that...
you got to be done with him.
Aaron, well, I did a preview with Aaron Gooden today, and he's having something on. So I just thought if it can get back to what it did two starts ago, $31.
Who are these good oil lads that you've been associated with, you two Muppets, the last couple of weeks? Who are they?
Well, Aaron's been in and around racing for a very long time, but you might be able to tell us a bit more. But he's
I don't know who that is.
He's a serious punter. I'd known him a little bit from social media, but Bot and I sat on a table next to him at Call of the Card during Melbourne Cup Day last year, and we just got chatting. So
we backed a couple horses.
Yeah. No, it was good fun. We got to meet some of the big wigs.
Did you say I do a podcast with one of them each week, or?
You.
What, you? Mate, don't worry. Everyone knows play. Yeah. Every
don't
single
worry. They all
knows
fucking
it.
Know what play it is.
All right, the last race. It's a benchmark 84, 1,400 metres. Oh, too good. Will she be that? Is $3.90 favourite from Sunshine in My Pocket, $4.60. Step Aside, $5. Hughes, $5. Molly Nick is $6. And they are the only chances, really, let's be honest. I'm going to have two bets in this race. I feel filthy backing this horse, Molly Nickers, but she hasn't really been one of mine. She put in a new career peak last start with the 59 kilos. Now she gets the claim, so she gets in with 56 kilos. And if you're a fan of relative weight swings, she meets Sunshine in My Pocket 5.5 kilos better for a narrow defeat. Gave her the perfect cut into the race and now draws a lot better. So I backed Molly at $8. You can probably still get something like that, $7.50 around. And I'm going to back O2 Good as well, who, you know, was a very, very good return. Went back against her usual pattern from barrier 13 over 1,200 metres first up. Is going to be improved from a fitness perspective now. Gets Benny Allen, goes forward from that gate 10. And, yeah, she's a pretty good horse and she's going to be mighty hard to hold out.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think she's a fantastic bet. Yeah, she's just a really good horse, I think. Excited to see what heights they reach during the winter months. Maybe a race like the Winter Championship might be right down her alley before some loftier heights come the spring. But, yeah, she's definitely a mare going places. Wiz is riding probably as good as anyone in the country at the moment. He's absolutely airborne, the lad. Barrier 10 should be no disadvantage. I expect he'll just blend in at the right time late in the day. I suppose they might be edging off the fence at this point in time. And, yeah, got a lot of respect for Sunshine in my pocket, but I dare say he's probably going to be behind O2 Good and would want to be pretty good to be running past, I would have thought. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy to be with O2 Good. I think $4 thereabouts is more than fair.
And it is worth noting, you know, there could always be scratching. So barrier 10, as we're speaking on a Thursday night, that could become 7 very easily, and all of a sudden, well, Matt looks sensational.
If it does become a lower gate, I don't think it's an issue. That's 10's fine. So anything better is a bonus.
Yep.
I think O2 Good should be about $3, and I think it's a good bet at $4.20 is the best price.
Dangerous party
yes,
horse.
I think. Sun, yeah. Oh, Wiz rode half the card at Pakenham tonight. He rode
two on Tuesday. He rode one or two yesterday. I think he rode a couple on the weekend as well. He's absolutely humming.
Yeah, the main dangers will be back in the field, and I think if it pinches a break on a fast sand down hillside track, then it will be too hard to catch.
It's going to be a soft five.
It fucking better not be. I tell you what, if it. Oh,
well, there's some chance for rain tomorrow and Saturday. So the Bureau of Meteorology isn't the most trustworthy commodity. A bit like a few horses you back bot. Questionable tickers.
Well, they win enough.
Whack. So bot best bet, Sandown. The punters love your declarations in Melbourne.
I haven't had a declaration. I don't ever have a declaration. I've never declared one. The only other than Medea, and that was because I actually thought it could not lose, and it didn't. So,
well, actually, I would interpret betting doesn't get much easier than X, Y, Z, and one from three would insinuate that
simple,
you were declaring that type
I was
of
not declaring,
that type of
though,
trash
I was saying
talk,
they were simple bets.
That type of trash talk. One from three, 33% is not acceptable.
Yeah.
When they're sub fucking 250, all of them
brought back down to earth.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
You can all go fuck yourselves.
Just holding you accountable.
Let's move
let's go
on
to the real racing
to Doomben. They caught the Sunshine State, and thank goodness this weekend there actually will be some of that. It is an improving soft five track, and it might get even better. So. Hopefully it's nowhere near as wet as it has been up there, and the forecast does look favourable. Race 7 is the Roses, 2,000-metre Group 2 for the fillies. Benagil, off her big win in the Adelaide Oaks, is $3.10 favourite from Philia, $5. Polymnia, $6.50. Moving Out, $9.50. Verona Rose, $11. Oh, they're very tight now to back them both, but we were able to secure $7 for Philia and $3.50 for Benagil on the sixth day. The market's honed in and found them both, but I still think you can back them both to turn a profit. Benagil was awesome in that Morpheville Oaks last start, circling the field from back and wide. After a few of these emergencies come out, she'll come into a much better barrier than the 16 on paper right now. She's the best horse in the race. She ran Treasure of the Moment to a length only two starts ago, and she gets big boy Mark Zara sticking. So clearly the horse to beat. But Philia, she's a horse who her ratings just continually get better with every start. And if Benagil gets too far back, then she's the one who can capitalize. So she led last start. It was a new career best rating with ease. She won by two lengths. Her recent trial between runs was excellent. And if she stays at a strong 2,000 metres, which I think she will, it is a question mark until they actually do it. But, yeah, she's one of the better fillies in Queensland right now. And I think the market's got this really spot on, to be honest. Polymnia and Moving Out, they've both drawn the car park. Where do they get to? And, you know, for them, it's all geared towards probably the Oaks, the Queensland Oaks. So, yeah, very keen on Benagil and Philia.
Has Polymnia ever drawn a gate?
No, she can just wait and draw one in the Oaks. I'm sure we'll win that.
Yeah. Well, we've taken a position on her in the Oaks, so hopefully she wins up.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the day's feature, the Dooman Cup Group 1 Weight for Age 2,000 metres. The favourite is Antino. Well, actually equal favourite now, which
baffling.
Really surprised that. Equal favourites Antino and Pride of Jenny. We know she's one of the most popular horses in Australia. Faulkner Park, $9, same as Kovalika. That's also quite baffling. Lindemann, $10. Elias, $10. Militarized, $19. Longer the rest. Obviously, the speed map is Pride of Jenny finds the front with ease. But I think the big key thing here is, you know, she's drawn barrier one. The big key thing is here, I think she's going to have some company. The likes of Lindemann, they want to be forward. Bois d'Argent, he won this race last year. He wants to be nice and handy. So a lot of the time when Pride of Jenny is able to skip away and win her races at 1,600 metres, it's either because horses can't go with her, horses don't want to go with her. And when horses don't want to go with her, that means the chasing pack are two lengths, three lengths further back than what they need to be. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I think Bois d'Argent is going to do the dirty work and make sure this field is nice and close to her. And I just don't think she's going to run a strong 2,000 metres in this day and age. As good as she was last start, the rating was good. It was always going to be a strong rating with 60 kilos when she's carrying that. But it was just the field. What did she beat? And I still don't think she's the Pride of Jenny of last season. So for me, she's the lay of the day. Antino is a strong bet for me here. High pressure is what he wants. He's third up. He's peaking for this. I know he goes heavy track to dry track here. And last up, those margins were obviously flattering because a lot of the horses weren't handling that surface. But yeah, up to 2,000 metres, he's one of the best horses in Australia and he can prove it on Saturday. And the other horse I want to be with is Faulkner Park. He won the Q22 in dominant fashion last year after running well in the Dooman Cup. Very unlucky in the Dooman Cup. He's a horse who gets better and better with racing. So deep in the preparation, no worries. Back him to a drier track, no worries. And high pressure, I don't think he'll mind either. So backing both for a good profit and had a really small bet on Lindemann at $17 just as a saver. Nico?
Yeah, I think it's a one-act affair here. I think Antino will belt him. Pretty simple stuff. I think Jenny's a massive hole in the market, as you alluded to. I think she's probably not the horse that she was a couple of preparations ago. And apart from her flash in the pan run once at 2,000 metres, I don't think she's a 2,000 metre horse. I'm more than happy to take her on. I backed her last start and got a good result out of her, but she beat far inferior horses last start than what she faces on Saturday. And Antino's probably a very exciting horse in the fact that, you know, there's a few horses that he's raced at the top level that are in the twilight of their career, and he should have a fairly good run at it, albeit he's probably got some good young fillies that are coming through the ranks that are going to rival him in some races. But, hopefully he can start to build on a CV that is deserving for the good horse that he is. So, I think $350 is a fair price. I'm not really worried about the map or anything like that. Shinny's got a good hold on this horse, and I'm sure he'll make the right decision and pop around him and say ta-da when the time is right. So, I think he's the horse to beat.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've seen now he's posted a few, I'll put it out on Twitter, he's posted a few wow victories now. Like, he's got three or four big wins in the bank, that Toorak where he just took off. He's a horse who can sustain that 400-meter run when Shinny takes off.
That's why the gate's good, because he can be out in clear air and you know that he can sustain a gallop for a long duration. So it's better than him being stuck inside of horses and worrying about not getting out and building momentum. He can go when he wants to go. And, yeah, as you said, he can sustain a gallop for a long time. So, yeah, I suspect I don't want to retire her off, but I think she may go pops that day, and that might be the last we see of Pride of Jenny. And if that is the case, well done to her because she's had a fantastic career. But yeah, I just don't think she's the same horse that she once was. So, but if she's still got the zest for racing and she runs a credible race and they keep pushing on, well, good luck to them. But I'll be probably continuing to take her on at this level for the foreseeable future, if that is the case.
Yeah, it feels like we finally have a handle on her to some extent. Like, she was a horse who got under our guard when she first burst onto the scene, but like this preparation especially, like, we've been hard against her, hard with her, now hard against her again. We could be proven wrong on Saturday.
I still think there's going to be enough horses that are going to keep her honest enough at parts in the race, and I don't think she's going to have that buffer that she needs.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't really have that buffer last start, but she was just racing inferior horses. Like, I thought we were in trouble last start for a few moments at the top of the straight. Yeah. And
those horses just can't sustain that pace. But they've never gone that fast.
And she was racing high benchmark.
Sheelite and Regal Zeus. Like, fair. Like, come on. Come on. Yeah. All right. The last race, the BRC Sprint, 1,350 metres, quality Group 3. Obviously, this is one of the main lead-ups for the Stradbroke Handicap, the time-honoured Straddy. War Machine is $3.40. Rise at Dawn, $7. Might be coming out, I think one of the Hayes boys said today. Coleman, $8.50. I Know a Star, $9.50. Freedom Rally, $11. Translantic is also $11. Yellow Brick, $16.
Why is Rise at Dawn
We've backed a few around. Well, apparently, they might wait for the Kingsford Smith Cup, because they weren't really wrapped about the barrier here, but he's got none in a Kingsford Smith.
Will he get into the Stradbroke as we speak? Sounded weird.
I think he will. I think he would sneak in.
So it's not like they have to win their way in. Well, that makes sense. No. But it also doesn't make sense going to a Group 1 race that you've got none in.
I'm going to quickly go through the horses that we've backed on the six-day all-in. We've backed Pier at 50-1. We've backed Waleido at $34. We've backed Rise at Dawn, $9. I Know a Star, $15. And the massive overlay we've got is $8 all in for War Machine, who's now $3.40 favorite. If I'm tipping to the podcast crowd right now, I'm tipping two horses. They are War Machine and I Know a Star. War Machine was excellent last start at 1,400 meters. It was a really, really fast run race. Decent enough rating. Gets map favors again from Barrier 6 and Blake Shin Sticks. So can see why it's favorite, but I Know a Star drawn Barrier 1. It's another one who still looks over the odds here at double figures just about. He's going to go forward. He's going to lead this race. If Rise at Dawn comes out, then that's even less pressure that Rachel King is going to find in the lead. Rachel's a jockey you want to be on when she is on these leaders. I know his first up record reads poorly. He is 0-6, but he did carry a big weight first up, going back to two preparations ago behind Gringotts. I think gave Gringotts 5 kilos and only ran him to a half length. So, yeah, doesn't have the win on the board first up yet, but sometimes those things can be a little bit deceiving. Nico, any thoughts?
I'd probably have War Machine on top, but... yeah, I don't know. I want to see what price. I haven't taken an early position. I've been under the pump this week at work when you were flicking through all your darts that you were throwing, and I didn't get to get myself in positions, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think War Machine is going to be extremely hard to beat. He's probably the only horse that I could back in the race. Yeah, especially if Rise at Dawn comes out, he's probably going to be like 250 or something. So, I don't know. Wait and see what the ledger's sitting at. Yet again, it is a whirlpool race. B-Shin, if the punters have had a day, this horse could start real short. Probably could start in the red. That might be the... like, if he's 250 with Rise at Dawn out and the punters have a good day and the big boys in Hong Kong on the whirlpool see B-Shin, this horse probably could start incredibly short. But, yeah, I don't know. War Machine.
No one's betting on the toe anyway.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in this whirlpool and what it does to fixed odds prices. bit of a grey area. No one really says anything about it, and horses become very short. I've got my conspiracies about it all, but anyway, that's a topic for another day. But yeah, anyway, War Machine on top, long story short.
All right.
Scores are level between the cats really? And the dogs.
I've backed the dogs at 220.
No, you're sick.
I said they were a good bet. Guy, at six,
what is it called? The good oil.
That was $6 at half time, and that was a good odds because they should have been in front anyway. Like they gave up fucking 5 or 6 goals in that first half just by stupid disposal and thingo, and the pressure that Geelong had early in the game was probably not sustainable. Oh. So it wouldn't surprise me what if they gaslight. Hopefully the dogs can hold on.
On the preview podcast I did today, it was very keen on the dogs, so I had a small bet on
them. Spewon, I didn't back the dogs the other week for the flag. Remember at Wiz's birthday? Said they were a good bet, and they were $14 at that point in time. They're about fucking half that.
Yeah, that is a good bet. Dogs in Collingwood for me.
Nor should you.
Neither do I.
Suppose it lessens
Other bets around Australia.
Yeah, the best bet.
I'm going to Randwick.
Yeah, okay. Go to Randwick first.
I'll quickly go with mine first. Randwick, race 8, number 6, Cool Jakey. Probably short enough now. I want $3. Like, I've taken $3, but suggesting a bet, I would want $3 plus. Well, bloody bet 365. Every time I have a decent sized bet of a couple hundred dollars now, they just shorten it straight.
I'm sure Zach's listening, so he can do something about that.
Well, anyway, they know what they're doing. They know I'm about to tip it to people. So it is what it is.
Cats are back in front.
Fuck. only give me good news, Bob. Good news here. Cool Jakey, he's a mudlark. He's 4 from 7 on heavy tracks. He's a horse who likes to get out in front and lead. Surprisingly, this is his first time at the mile. So that's a little bit of a query, but often when a horse steps up to a mile, it means the pace is softer than 1,400 metres. So they get a more conservative and economical run in front, and it actually helps them see out the trip better. And you see a lot of Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott horses who get run over at 1,200, 1,400 metres, and you think, well, they're not going to run out a strong mile, are they? But the pace is slower, so they end up getting a softer time of it, and they kick on a win. And I think that is what might happen with this horse. I'm really excited to see him out to the mile for the first time. I think the mile is more of a query for Green Fly, who is 0 from 10 at the distance, than it is for Cool Jakey. So, yeah, pretty keen on his chances, and Adam Hieronymus is a great rider of front runners. Nico, give us the best bet of the year.
Well, we go west. Race 7.
Oh, my God.
Number 1.
Why'd you drop that?
Western Empire. Cannot believe they are betting $5 about this horse. You forgive what happened last start in the Quokka. He's not a 1,200-meter horse. It's exactly what happened last time. We forgave him when he ran under expectation at 1,200 meters and then come and pissed in at 1,400 meters. Barrier 14 is not an issue. He'll be 3 wide, 3 back with cover. Around Belmont will blend into the race when Pikey sees fit. He's simply the best horse in this race, and all reports are that he is back on track, and if he's back on track, this race is over. $5 will be a gift. It is the best bet of the year to date.
It's huge.
I think West Star is a nice horse, but he couldn't carry Western Empire's bags of what he's done in his career. There's some good horses in this race, but if the right Western Empire turns up, he is the best horse in Western Australia at this trip. So, yep, I think $5 is a fantastic price, and $5.45 could make or break the day.
Who's West Star? Why is it favourite? I mean,
it's nice, a good horse. It's the up-and-comer, 3-year-old. It pissed in last start in the Northern Stakes, which, funnily enough, is the race that Western Empire won last year, over 1,300 metres.
Yeah, but I mean, if Western Empire runs its...
Yep, exactly right, Bot. The map is fine for Western Empire, Barrier 14.
Oh, it's so gross. Why am I agreeing with Nico?
It's just a fantastic bet.
Yeah, it does sort of just... What's going on there?
He should be favourite. Like, I mean, the only reason he's not is because He's had a poor performance last start. But if you go through all his 1,200 meter performances, they're poor. And as he's gotten older, he's a horse that wants more distance. He's just got run off his legs. Distance.
Yeah, that was a fast run quarter. Yeah. Very fast.
And, yeah. Well, Puffer said today that if they have the preparation Saturday and the races moving forward, that there's a big chance that we'll see him back over east come the spring. So if they don't need to do that, but there's really probably not that many races for him, Benny. There's a gold rush. He'll have too much weight in a railway.
Wonder what way to get in a Rupert Clark. Probably a bit too much.
I don't know. There's plenty, but if they want to come over, good on them. Like, absolutely come over. The horse owes them nothing. But, yeah, I think he's a – I can't believe he's $5. And I suspect that he will start a lot shorter than that, pending what a few Western Australian sharps say tomorrow. Like, if Terry and a few of these boys are keen on this horse, well, he'll start with a two in front of his price.
West Star, for me, he was good last start, and he answered the calling of why he was so short and why they backed him off the map and why he started what I thought was a little bit under the odds in the quokka. It was three wide, and it was a good win. But I do agree that Western Empire $5 is overs, and I've had a bet accordingly. All right. Bot, do you have anything else in Australia around the grounds?
Nah.
All right. Let's get to Sunday then. Honkers. Race 8, Group 1, Champions and Chater Cup, 2,400 metres, weight for age. The only market out right now is Bet365, and surely there are only two chances here. They are Voyage Bubble, the number one, at $1.66, and Dubai Honor, number two, at $2.75. Nico, I remember about a week and a half ago, I got on the buzzer to you, and the futures market for this race dropped, and I said, they've put up $5 Dubai Honor at 2,400 metres against Voyage Bubble here. They put up $1.45.
I actually fell over when you rang me and told me that.
I couldn't believe it. So we're in a really good position. But look, this is a two-horse race. I would still have them much closer together in the market. I would mark Dubai Honor a very slight favourite, maybe $2.20 and then $2.30, $2.40 Voyage Bubble. And it's just because he's the 2,400 meter horse. He's the proven one. He's drawn barrier one here, which is a little bit icky, but his win in the Tancred was sensational. He ran second to Via Sestina, dropping back to 2,000. Now he's back up to 2,400 meters. He's ran well in Hong Kong in the past. He was a very, very unlucky second in the Hong Kong Vars back in December. And Voyage Bubble, it's just been a weird preparation. He's been 1,600.
Is he the one that beat Mr. Brightside?
Who?
Voyage Bubble. Was he the one that was in the Mr. Brightside race?
Yeah, he was
race?
In the Mr. Brightside race. He runs. He got
is he going straight to 24?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
So he's gone 1,600 metres, up to 2,000, back to 16, and now he's trying 2,400 metres for the first time. I do think the back to for 2,000 metres, back to 1,600 metres last start might be a possible reason why he got beat by Red Lion, because he was just lacking that little bit of speed in his legs, and he just seemed a little bit dour in the straight there, because his win at 2,000 metres the start prior was sensational. It was enormous. But I still think 2,400 metres is a big query. This is a race that Romantic Warrior got turned over in 2 years ago. Zach Purton rode him and lost at $1.20. Got run over by Russian Emperor. And I just think he's way, way too short here, stepping up to this trip for the first time. So although Voyage Bubble is the best miler in Hong Kong, he might not be the best 2,400 meter horse come Sunday. He's going for the Triple Crown, the big trio of Group 1s over, you know, the 16, 2,000 and 2,400 meters. But yeah, well, I think Dubai Honor is a cracking bet. Nico?
Yeah, I echo your sentiments. I think Team Dubai Honor all the way here. As we said in our pre-production meeting before the podcast, I feel a little bit dirty being...
Oh, fuck, pre-production meeting.
I feel a little bit dirty being against Voyage Bubble, because it's one of my most...
He got beat by Red Lion last start.
He should have won on protest, but that's a story for another day.
Hmm.
Mark Van Gestel. Big prick.
Who's Mark the Van Gestel?
Head steward. Ex-New South Wales steward.
Oh, that was fair, I thought.
Yeah, whatever.
He was doing it for the wagering commissions.
Fucking coward.
No, I won't say that. I didn't say that.
It was ridiculous. Should it?
There's going to be some black SUVs clearly, pull up your house.
Clearly should have been upheld. But anyway, that's racing. That's the game. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, yeah, I think Dubai Honor, he's the proven horse at 2,400 metres and facts and figures to say in a two-horse race, the horse who's done it has to be the horse on top, I think. I think Voyage Bubble might be a little too brilliant for 2,400 metres is my thinking. But
oh, my God, how do you miss that?
Yeah. Wait and see. I just hope that the heat and the climate and stuff is not something that brings Dubai undone, as we alluded to earlier. It's very hot and steamy over there at the moment. So, hopefully that's not his undoing.
All right. Well, Geelong have kicked away, so I've lost a bit of money.
They've got kicked on the dick by the whistle. Again, who would have thought?
Anyway, it seems like it was a good game. Let's get to our back, our lay, and our prey. Who wants to go first?
I think Saban's too short, so that'll be my lay. It or Accredited. I think that Oh Too Good, probably the best bet, and Chocolates in the fourth.
Sweet. So, wait, you're taking Oh Too Good as your best?
Yeah.
All right, Nico?
Western Empire is my best bet.
Wow, this podcast multi is going to pay a mozza.
I probably don't really have a lay as such. Well, yeah, lay West Star, actually. Hamburger with a lot in that race. It's too short.
Oh, my God.
And my value is probably the two-bet play in the eighth race that I'm going to have. Red Galaxy and Dashing. They're probably both over the odds.
Okay. I'm going to make my best bet on Sunday. Dubai Honor, race 8, number 2. Let me just quickly get up.
This is going to pay a fucking fortune. It's like $4 into $5 into $2.75. It's going to be like $60 to $1.
$60.
Just shy of. Maybe like 55 to 1 or something, is it?
Yeah, about 55 to 1. So there you go, Pines. That's something for the kitty. My lay will be in the Group 1 Doom and Cup. It's got to be Pride of Jenny sticking the boots through her. And best each way, take your pick between race 9, Doomben, I Know a Star. Or maybe Dashing Race 8, number 5, Sandown. Just had a bit of each-way odds. All right, let's get to a couple of questions now. I will load up the Twitter first, and then we'll go into Instagram. All right, the first one from Casual Callout. Here we go. Here's a dig at bot, which we love.
Oh, God, here we go.
Does the betting get simpler or harder on Saturday, bot? Hashtag Foxenberg.
Hopefully.
Don't say harder.
Oh, well, it probably does. It's not easy on Saturday, but hopefully.
Fall back on your sword, you coward.
14 likes that comment got.
Jesus.
That's not that nice. Talk shit.
They all beat SP. I'm not talking shit. I give free bets to people.
B2B on Twitter. His tag name is GB Buckaroo. Interesting. He says, Marquin's at the wheel. Tell me, how good does it feel? Maybe that's a bit of meant to be said in a chant. Uh-huh. That's what I'm guessing. He's from the UK. So you know what these English, what these poms are like with their chant. So Marquin's at the wheel. Tell me, how good does it feel? There you go. Don't mind it. That's in reference to Dubai Honor, obviously.
Ah, I see.
Come on, lads. Fucking slow.
Yeah.
Chris DeCasta, what price would you lay Pride of Jenny? And should we all just give up if Kovalika wins on Saturday?
Kovalika looks big there.
Oh.
Don't you even.
He's probably going to start $6 with J-Mac on.
Serious J-Mac tax.
It looks like a bet, $10.
Oh, no.
Have one, then can't. Donate.
Yeah, we blow up Doomben if Kovalika wins, yes. And what price would I lay Jenny at? If I could lay her at $3 Betfair, then I would. I don't think I'm going to be able to. Here we go. Nico's got some fan mail. Summer of Falcon. When's McGualter calling it quits?
For what?
Hopefully fucking soon.
I won a dinner from Bot last week. We should have won the first at Flemington. King's effort didn't handle the track. Sir Delius was a max bet job declared pissed in. And Balinor smashed a hurdle harder than I'll smash some fake fans that want to give to me some real confident male in real life.
Oh, shut up, mate.
And that's racing. Not going that bad. Right. Fuck me.
Ryan Patton. Bot, with Ben and Nico thriving in their regular radio segments on a Friday, how long until we see yourself hit the airwaves? Are they just waiting for the ink to dry on the contract after declaring Madea the bet of the decade a fortnight ago? And
everyone's got to get over this Madea business. It was fucking a month ago.
Don't be jealous.
No, but right. Like, it's only so he's already burnt through that cash. Like.
No, I don't know. I don't know. No one's asked me about it. I don't know. I don't really care.
Have you moved to the Racing Victoria building yet?
No, not yet.
That's when you'll get on.
Well, I don't know. I don't really care.
Because RSN is located in the Racing Victoria building at Flemington. So you just have to peep your head in there from time to time. And
say the Friday segment can be Bot and Benny in the bets.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, if this they is not 15 minutes of fame, mate.
If they want to, I'm not going to go out of my way to do it. I don't care that much.
What would you say? Who'd be called? Talk, Bot and the Watt.
I don't know. I'll let them figure that out.
It'd be called Bot and the Watts.
Bot and the Watts.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Bot and the Watts.
Instagram questions. Jack Geno, do you give Rise at Dawn a chance? If he runs, I'll give him a chance. I think 1,350 metres is as short as he wants it, and he's only second up. I don't know. He's a chance. He's got the big 59 kilos, but he might not be running. Stu, countdown is on 149 days. That is obviously talking about the Everest, and we're all attending, hopefully, and hopefully Kayang Rising wins. Sunshine in Paris and Ascoli Pacciano say, hey, Stu says. Yeah, both good winners. Ascoli Pacciano was huge. Jack Geno, is Prince Tycoon, we haven't touched on this race yet, is Prince Tycoon Friday night the best bet all weekend? Yeah,
not best bet all weekend, but it's a bet. There's a danger in that race. I think that J-Max on Impact Zone. I think you back Prince Tycoon. It's getting out in the market, so you probably don't have to bet yet. $3 would be nice.
Nah, don't bet yet.
The way it's going, we might get it with a little bit of a boost.
The only thing I don't love with Prince Tycoon is drawn a really wide gate and back to 1,000 metres. So there could be just two-year-olds going mad and trying to find that rail. And
not stupid.
He's not stupid, but like he might not just be able to slot in like everyone thinks he can.
If they go that hard.
What race is it?
If they go like cut cats, he can just fucking surely just get in.
Just take a
sit in behind. Doesn't even, won't even have to take hold. Just slow him down for a furlong and he'll get a spot.
Yeah. Bot thoughts?
He is a very nice horse and I haven't looked at the race and I don't know any of these horses.
Yeah.
But he's a very nice horse, that one.
All right.
But it's 1,000. It's 1,000. He's not a 1,000 meter horse. No way.
Yeah. Class might just get him through though.
Maybe.
Twitter, which I've reminded myself because it wasn't on the question section, but Tristan Tate is what he called himself on Twitter. Silly Sloth 145. Can you just explain on the pod the implications? Thanks. And this is in reply to Tab Corp not putting out their odds early because they want to protect margins. Bren O'Brien put up something on the straight. The implications of this, well, it obviously means that Tab aren't going that well. If they're not putting up prices because they're so worried about early punters either getting overs or if they're putting up the wrong odds or they simply don't want to put up the odds first and they want someone else to have a go, it obviously means that they're cost-cutting, which everyone is in this day and age. But I don't know. I just think it's a little bit worrying because it's something they've always done and now all of a sudden Gil McLaughlin is in at Tab and they're not putting up prices as early. Like, a lot of people won't really care, and that's fine. But, yeah, they're not having a crack as much. Sportsbet is now the number one bookie in Australia, and maybe Sportsbet should pull their thumb out and start putting up markets earlier.
Yeah, there's not many of them that actually do form. I think they just have bots that set a vague price, and then it gets fixed up by people that back the couple horses early, and then
surely know, Tab has someone. Them. Oh, Tab have that Tim Ryan does it a little bit in Sydney.
Whatever, I don't know. But they're just sort of protecting a book. They're not. I don't know. I don't think it really affects us. I really don't. Like, I mean, it just doesn't. Like, the only thing it really affects is if you have an itch to have a back a horse 2 days early before a price goes up later on the day. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like,
I'll give you
it doesn't
one
cost turnover.
I'll give you one example. I hope Liv doesn't mind me mentioning this, but it does affect her in some ways because she doesn't get through the odds early, and then she's trying to study for a meeting that's in 2 days, and like, you know, it's a bit harder to, like, it's just nice to have the odds there so you can know who's favorite, know who's the more likely winning hopes, so then you study more on the favorite runners because they're more likely to win.
Well, I'll just price them up for her and I'll let her know.
okay you'll do that for free. And obviously they're not getting the you know, the expert tips in as early as well, because they're, you know, because the odds. So yeah, just makes things like that a little bit more difficult as well. And whether that stifles turnover, I don't really know. Maybe it doesn't, but yeah. Coops Irwin, how hard do you think Aussie punting battlers get when a horse over 50-1 wins?
I'm over this mob.
Why? They're doing their own thing. That's good.
Just such fraudulent shit being plastered in the air.
Don't say that, mate.
Hey. I've got a decent relationship.
Oh, well, you can have them. They're not having one bet in the race, which is what they proclaim. I've got no problems. Whatever. Have your stabs in the dark at whatever. But say that you're having five bets in the race.
Yeah, but if they win at 40-1, then...
Yeah, but if you have five bets and you've had fucking five of them at 40-1, it's not really 40-1, is it?
I reckon it would just be nice to see the sheets more.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's fraudulent information because they're not stating the facts that they've had multiple bets in the race.
Who cares, really?
Well, that's like, okay. If you're happy with misinformation being spread about, you do you, brother.
It just doesn't sit well with me.
Good luck to them. Good riddance.
They do find some big price winners.
Everyone's got their
strengths and weaknesses. It's not a strength of mine finding 50-1.
I don't think it's really a strength. Often, but... It's more luck, but anyway.
Coops Irwin. Shot, shag, marry. There we go. Doombin, Eagle Farm, Toowoomba.
What a rogue question.
Toowoomba's the worst.
I'd shag Toowoomba.
No, Toowoomba's the worst. Doomin's the second worst.
Don't ever say that again.
Eagle Farm is a great track. When the grass is good, it's the premier track in Queensland.
I'm not even answering.
I just think Toowoomba's pretty cool. I just like Toowoomba.
Give Coop something.
This is a silly question from the great man.
Yeah, Bot likes Toowoomba because he's usually on the source with Tice by 6 p.m. when the first is going off.
Yeah. And he's back in things at Toowoomba and I'm screaming him home. I've got nothing on him, obviously.
Yeah. Whatever the cover story is, Bot's all right. Secret safe here.
Psychotic behaviour. Mm. All right, let's wrap up the podcast there. It's been a good one, I would have thought. No outro song at the moment because I just can't be bothered with Spotify messaging me saying... Your podcast has been taken down.
Coward behavior, Spotify. Get it.
Had a bit of feedback saying people do like the outro song. If you like the outro song, then I need some music and some audio that's not licensed. So that's my ultimatum to you. Good luck this weekend, punters. We'll see you back here next week.
Maybe they won't.